Hi, it's Germination editor Mark Zinkowitz, and welcome to part one of our past, present, and future series on the Canadian seed industry. Over the next several months, we'll be profiling the six organizations that make up our industry: CropLife Canada, the Commercial Seed Analysts Association of Canada, Canadian Seed Institute, Canadian Plant Technology Agency, the Canadian Seed Trade Association, and the Canadian Seed Growers Association. We'll be shedding some light on the history of our organizations, the role they play today, and where they're headed in the future. For now, we're going to be dealing with the past and the present and talking about the future later in 2017. We're beginning with the Canadian Seed Institute. I'm joined by Executive Director Roy Van Wyk and former Executive Director Jim McCullough. Roy has been Executive Director since 2011. Prior to that, he served as Operations Manager for the Canadian Seed Growers Association. Jim served as Executive Director of CSI from its formation in the late 1990s until 2011. He now serves as a brand manager for a genetics company in Eastern Europe. Both have played an important part in shaping their industry and in shaping a very important organization like the Canadian Seed Institute. CSI delivers accreditation and monitoring programs for the Canadian seed industry. Recognized by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, CSI has been given the mandate to be the single point contact for all seed establishments, seed laboratories, operations, and graders seeking registration, licensing, or accreditation. Currently, CSI monitors approximately 1,000 Canadian seed establishments, authorized importers, and accredited seed testing laboratories. Roy, I'd like to begin with you. I just read out the official description of what CSI does, but in layman's terms, can you tell me how you describe to someone what CSI's function is and why it's important?
Most of the seed in Canada that's certified is not processed by the farmers that are producing the seed. Almost you can think of them from the layperson's perspective as factories, seed processing factories. And so our job, once the seed is in the bin, once the seed crop is harvested, and the varietal identity has been maintained and the crops have been certified, that's where CSI's responsibility picks up. So we work with the facilities that clean and process seed, these little seed factories, to ensure that they're maintaining the integrity of certified seed as it moves through their production system. So this is the ultimate identity preservation program, really, that we're looking at, so that that seed has to be kept segregated right through the entire process. The equipment all has to be cleaned. And so we're in there to help the facilities. We provide a template for them to set up a structure, their own quality management systems that's ISO-based, that helps them maintain the quality of the product and test it and make sure it meets the requirements laid out in the seed racks and seed regulations, and it's graded and labeled. We're helping the industry to make sure the integrity and quality of seed is maintained. So really, when that blue tag goes on, that tag means something. It means quality. It means you're getting the purity and germ that you and the variety that you are looking for.
Looking back to the late 1990s when CSI was formed, what did our industry look like at the time, and why was there a need for an organization like CSI to be born?
It's interesting because that time, around the mid-1990s, a lot of similar things were happening back then that were happening now. Even since 2012, when the federal budget came out, and they announced that they were to introduce alternate service delivery for seed crop inspection. CFIA back in those times, they were, they had gone through a cost recovery initiative and established some new user fees in 1995. And shortly after, or around the same time, they decided to delegate responsibility of the oversight of the labeling of pedigreed seed to the seed industry. The seed growers and the seed trade were concerned, I guess. They didn't really want an oversight body, didn't have any experience with the seed industry to begin to do that oversight activity. So they started working together to think up ideas on how they could deal with that delegation of responsibility. So, out of necessity, I guess, then you could say CSI was born. It was formed in 1997 then, with CSGA and CSTA coming together to talk about developing a body that would audit facilities for compliance with the Seeds Act and seed rates. So that was sort of the starting point. Eventually, CSAC, the Commercial Seed Analysts Association of Canada, joined as a member of CSI. And then I think within a year or two after that, the Alberta Seed Processors, originally, I guess they were the Alberta Co-op Seed Cleaning Plants. And then the Quebec Conditioners also joined as members of CSI. So our membership is not individuals, it's actually five organizations of the seed industry. So, organizations coming together to try and resolve, in this case, a particular issue in the seed industry. You know, I think the first milestone in 1998, so about almost a year after we were formed, that first signing of the contract, our agreement with CFIA as an accreditation body, you know, to do the oversight activity, to do the audits and inspections of the seed labs and seed facilities. So that was a big day. I'd love for you to hear Jim McCullough's perspective.
Jim, I'd like to switch over to you for a moment. Can you describe for me that day, December 24th, 1998, when CSI was officially brought into being? That must have been a significant moment for you.
It was fairly nerve-wracking, and you're having to turn around and set up an organization that was going to stand on a brand new organization that was going to stand up on its own 2 feet. Main work, really, in setting it up was through the executives, as I said, of CSGA and CSTA in particular at the time, because they were responsible for convincing their memberships that this was a good idea.
Fast forward until today, what does CSI's role currently look like?
We've expanded the role of CSI out of necessity in a way. You know, to remain, for CSI to remain financially independent and find some stability, we needed to look at other programs. We look at other ways to use our auditors. If you can imagine, you know, there's about 1,000 facilities spread out across Canada. And so geographically, we needed to have auditors in place close to where the facilities are doing their business. So, you know, a lot of the costs associated with delivering this service is buried in travel. So to minimize that part of the cost there, we need to have people strategically located across Canada. But because there's 1,000 facilities and we don't audit on an annual basis, it's usually every 2 years and in some case every 4 years, there's not really a lot of audits in any given year. So to keep keep our auditors in tune and keep them interested in working with CSI, we had to find other potential programs they can work in to increase the number of audits or inspections they were doing. So it was very natural for CSI and their to look at other potential programs in the agricultural industry that they could expand the CSI business for the number of audits basically for each of the auditors. And so we naturally expanded into other programs.
Roy, do you think CSI is well understood within the seed industry today?
I think it would be fair to say that we're reasonably understood. The seed industry in Canada, I guess if I was, thinking in general, not only for CSI, but for all the organizations here, the way the system is structured comes across as very complex. And so a lot of people, when they're trying to, people who are getting started in the industry or people who want some help resolving a problem, particularly around seed certification, it's not always clear who you call. Do you call CSGA, who's responsible for seed crop certification and the crop production standards? Do you call CSI? You know, our roles and responsibilities are very distinct and different. And so there tends to be some confusion. So people often are wondering, do I call CFIA? Do I call CSGA? Do I call CSI? And so it's dynamic in that sense. So I think we can, as an industry, including CSI, we could always do better communicating to the industry.
Jim, what was that like for you in trying to get the message out there about when people should call CSI and when they should deal with a different organization?
I always was thinking that the role of CSI in terms of information sharing was really more around about compliance with the Seeds Act and regulations. Any other kind of policy communication was going to be done by the members of CSI, which were the other associations. So one had to be fairly careful in terms of not duplicating or I don't even know if there's a word, triplicating, but those kind of communications.
How is CSI meeting current challenges?
Kind of the culture at CSI is one of continually to do environmental scanning and to take a look at new opportunities that might come forward for it to use its assets in maybe different industry sectors.
Overall, I think CSI has stayed fairly constant. I think that after the first few years, out of necessity, it began making changes to expand, largely to find that financial stability, provide more work for the auditors. Part of that was to make sure we kept our auditors. It's a very dynamic skill. And, there's a big appreciation for the auditors that we did have. I think we're spoiled a bit because they're very dedicated and they do a great job. And we want to make sure we keep them. You like to have that knowledge base continue on as long as possible. So I think that part is the pieces that stayed the same. One of the key changes, maybe we're focusing less on trying to deliver quality services to other organizations, and we're now probably in the last 6 years more focused on inspections, auditing, third-party verification, trying to help the ag industry where possible and where it fits our mandate, trying to help the ag industry find cost-effective solutions to whether it's a certification they're looking for or verification. So I think it's a slight, very tweak in the focus, but still, for the most part, fairly steady in the services it's delivering.
Thanks so much to both of you for joining me today on this part one of our past, present, and future series. And thank you for listening.
Check back soon for part two of our series, which will profile the Commercial Seed Analysts Association of Canada. Have a great day.